Well, most of us have probably had this question at least once as we read the Bible, especially the First Testament. Why? Why Abraham? Why? You know, Abraham's family not only worshiped idols, but they made idols. Was Abraham worthy of God's blessings? God's blessing? Abraham was a petty man who saved his own life even by pretending his wife was his sister. The process of obtaining Isaac was not a smooth one. It is very doubtful that he is truly worthy of God's choice. Today, we're going to talk about Jacob's story. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Many of us know well what Jacob was like. The name Jacob means a supplanter, which is often interpreted as someone who seizes, circumvents, or usurps. The name Jacob means deceiver as well. So, what is unveiled in Genesis is the life of Jacob and his family, filled with issues of deceit and deception. If you look into Jacob's story, he honestly doesn't seem to deserve to be a role model of the Christian faith. Again, why Abraham? And why Jacob? Why did God not choose people of good faith, great character, and ability, but rather people who worshiped idols, had no faith, and instead had so many problems? However, what is important is not who was chosen, but the purpose of God's choice and his promise itself. Do you believe that? The promise of God's covenant to Abraham is very clear. God did not call Abraham so that only he would be blessed, but God chose Abraham because he wanted all people, all tribes, and all nations to be blessed. Amen. God's chosen one for the many. We are chosen for the world as part of Abraham's family. Do you believe that? Amen. Again, when you ask why only Abraham, why only Abraham? We must not forget that you and I have already been chosen in God's promise. Not by who we are, but by his choice, sovereignty, and his grace. In fact, it doesn't matter who is chosen. God is the one who does and accomplishes his work. Let's go back to Jacob's story. Even though God chooses a weak person like Jacob, God faithfully keeps his promises. Psalm 146 is the motto of my life. This is one of the Bible passages that motivated me the most when I graduated from college and decided to become a minister. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." Hear the expression, "the God of Jacob." God of Jacob is used. Why call God the God of Jacob? Jacob is a man like us who has many problems and troubles. And God chose this Jacob, blessed him, and promised to be with him. God faithfully keeps that promise. God does not say that He is the God of the capable, successful, powerful, confident, or sufficient. No. He is the God of those who lack, the God of the powerless, the God of failures, the God of the frustrated and the problematic. So this expression is very comforting to me. You and I are not perfect. We are still fallen, failures, and weak human beings. But God's love doesn't depend on who we are. We don't deserve God's love, and yet God loves us, and His love is unchanging. God called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and promised to bless the world through them. Then God didn't leave them alone. God kept His promises. God has always been a way maker, promise keeper, and light in the darkness. I love that song. Genesis chapter 35 is one of the last part of the Jacob story. It seems that Jacob was particularly interested in blessings. Jacob had probably heard the stories from his father Isaac about God's blessings promised to Abraham. Also, Jacob had heard that God had promised to bless him as well. But rather than keep trust in that promise, Jacob tried to seize that blessings with his own strength and efforts. Jacob tried to deceive his brother and his father, trying to steal the blessing to take it for himself. Seeking blessings for himself, Jacob instead found only danger, the threat of death, loneliness, and longing, regret, and despair. God's blessings are not achieved through our efforts. If God's blessings can be received through our efforts and hard work, then God is no longer a love of God, a God of love. Jacob has been trying to be blessed with his own will and effort. We are blessed not because of who we are, but because of God's faithfulness. Every time Jacob created a crisis in his life, God would lift Jacob up and remind him of this. In Genesis 28, Jacob encountered God at Bethel while running for his life from his brother Esau. Then in chapter 32, Jacob wrestled with God at Jabbok River before reuniting with Esau. Notice that both events are related to Esau. In chapter 35, we read earlier, Jacob faced the biggest crisis of his life. It wasn't really a death threat or an economic or relational crisis. Rather, he found himself in a comfortable environment, living a peaceful life. After a peaceful reunion between Jacob and Esau, they each go their own way. Jacob leaves his family and lives in the city of Shechem. Everything seems to be going well so far. Maybe too well. But Genesis 34 exposes the truth. Settling in comfort might be the real danger. chapter 34 contains the dirty and ugly aspects of imperfect humans who get a bit too comfortable. God's name is not mentioned even once. There are only stories of rape, anger, deceit, greed, murder, violence, and self-centeredness. No one looks to God in Shechem. Shechem was not a place for Jacob and his family to stay. They had to go on the promised land that God had commanded. The biggest crisis in our lives is when we live distance from God, when we no longer feel the need to seek Him. At such times, we assimilate with the world and live there. For Jacob, Shechem was a place of religious crisis. It was a place of compromise with the world. As long as we stay in Shechem, our journey with God will go no further. In fact, Jacob stayed in Shechem for about 10 years, setting aside God's promise. In chapter 34, Jacob's daughter, Dinah, is raped. And in revenge, Jacob's sons slaughter a whole city. Perhaps for Jacob, this was the thing that completely destroyed his peaceful life. He was gripped with the fear that he would again become an enemy of the people of Shechem and a fugitive. This incident became a reminder of the distant relationship with God, a real crisis. Sometimes suffering and difficulties are reasons to be grateful because they become an opportunity to seek God. When Jacob was afraid in the face of the crisis, God came to him again, as he had before. Jacob didn't seek God first. As always, God came to Jacob first. Chapter 35, 1, God said to Jacob, "Get up, go to Bethel, and live there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you ran away from your brother Esau." Get up. Is Jacob sitting down? Yes, he is. Shechem could be a place to stay for a while, but it is not a place for him to settle. God raises him up, Jacob, who is now sitting in Shechem. A German-speaking Bohemian novelist and short story writer, Franz Kafka, said this. But you don't need to understand and take this in a theological sense, even though he is an atheist. But he said this: "There are two main human sins from which all the others derive: impatience and indolence. Because of impatience, they were expelled from paradise. Because of indolence, they do not return." We often overlook God's will and plan because of our impatience. Also, because of indolence, we often fail to discern the will of God. Jacob's life was like this in some ways. Jacob is resting in Shechem. His indolence is blocking his return to God's promised land. God raises up Jacob who is now sitting in Shechem with spiritual indolence. Get up. Get up. God clearly says where Jacob should go now. The place where Jacob is now is not a place where he should be. The place where he has to go is Bethel. Bethel is the place where Jacob encountered God in a dream 20 years earlier. God tells Jacob to build an altar there to God himself. In chapter 28, after Jacob had an amazing experience at Bethel, he made a promise to God. He solemnly promised that if God brought him home to his father's household in Canaan, the first thing he would do was build an altar and worship God at Bethel and give tithe. This was a promise to make Bethel the spiritual center of his life, where Jacob would establish a family of faith. But Jacob had forgotten that promise. Instead, he settled in Shechem, a place of splendor, comfort, and material abundance. At the time, Bethel was nothing more than a barren field overgrown with stones. Not many people lived there. Compared to Shechem, Bethel was a poor land. But the place where Jacob was to go wasn't chosen because it looked good. It doesn't matter how humble an empty place is. It doesn't matter that no one else wants to go there. If God's grace is present, if God is calling us there, that is the place we should go. Amen. Bethel means house of God. In fact, this is also the place where Abraham built an altar when he first arrived in Canaan. For Jacob, Bethel is a place of unforgettable memories and a starting point for spiritual transformation. It is also where he has to stay. Where is Bethel for you? Where is Bethel in your life, in your faith journey? We all probably have our own Bethel. I want you to hear what God has to say to us today. Have you settled for a life that doesn't require God? If so, God is telling you to go back to Bethel. And God wants you to live there, in his house, in his presence. Jacob finally obeys God's calling. And he does three important things to prepare for a life in Bethel. God tells Jacob to remove idols, clean themselves, and change clothes. You know, I'm so surprised that Jacob and his family still have idols. Although he had great experiences at Bethel and the river Jabbok, he still could not give up his idols. It is as if we have met God and have been born again as God's children, but we still have not thrown away the things of the world. What does abandoning idols mean for us today? It means getting rid of our worldly habits ingrained in our flesh. We are still living by the lies in the world, the lies that surround us, tempt us, deceive us, and obscure the truth. Above all, the world pushes us to live lives that make sense. Following Christ is regarded as foolish. That is a lie. That is a lie. Idols are built on lies. We must get rid of the idols we still have not thrown away. I'm so grateful that our small group is fasting together at one settled time every week. I think this could be one powerful chance to get rid of idols. How grateful I would be if this little practice could awaken my faith in fresh ways. After getting rid of his idols, Jacob cleanses himself and changes his clothes. Clothes play a role to show one's status. Clothes shows everyone something about who you are. Clothing is a kind of mark. It means that Christians living in the world live worthy of Christ. Those who are saved must live a life worthy of it. This is our identity in the world. When we talk about salvation, we usually think of eternal life. So, salvation tends to be understood as eternal life after death. But it is a misunderstanding of eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean only the future life in which we live forever. Eternal life in Christianity means living connected to the eternal God. In other words, as we live connected to the God of life, we live right now the beginning of eternal life. It is to live today with God. Amen. So this is what it means to live as a Christian, as saved people. A life characterized by gratitude. The world compels us to complain as we compare ourselves to others and compete with others for more. But everything that has been given to us is precious, and we experience life when we are grateful for what we have. Christians do not live by worldly values, but by biblical values. People will know we are such Christians. They will see God in our lives as though we were wearing Him as clothing. Jacob and his family get rid of idols, they change clothes, and they go to Bethel after performing purification rite, and they built an altar there and worship God. And there, God changed Jacob to Israel. God is the one who changes from chaos to order. He turns death into life, from sorrow to joy, from despair to hope, from a child of devil to a child of God, from slavery to freedom. Just as their names were changed from Jacob to Israel, Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Saul to Paul, and Simon to Peter, so our lives and perhaps even our names will be changed at Bethel, at the house of God. The change of Jacob to Israel is entirely by God's grace. No qualifications were required for Jacob to be renamed Israel. Salvation is not obtained through our intentions and efforts. We, who were held by the power of sin and death, have been transformed into children of God through Jesus Christ. Not because we deserve it, not because we tried really hard, only because God's grace. Where are you now? Are you living as a children of the promise, as God's people chosen to bless the world? Or have you settled in Shechem, enjoying the comforts of the world? Have you forgotten your promise to God and God's promise to you, to me and you? God invites us once again. Get up. Get up. Go to Bethel and live there. The house of God waits for us. Bethel is a place of worship that is realized in your life. It is a place to glorify and praise God through your life. I hope this place here and today is going to be your Bethel. I want to pray. Let's pray together.